The meeting is now called to order for the congregational meeting of 2011, and I would ask Joe, our pastor, to open with prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here and discuss the events and the affairs of this local church. It is our prayer that what we do here this morning will be honorable to Christ, and we lift our prayer in his name. Amen.
We need verification of a quorum. Gary, do we have a quorum? Okay, at this time, our secretary, Gary Watson, will read the minutes from the 2010 annual meeting. And after he's done that, I will entertain a motion that would have to be made and then second and then approved for approval of those minutes. Gary.
The annual congregational meeting for Grace Doctrine Church was held during the second session on Sunday, 14 February 2010. The chairman of the Board of Deacons, Dr. Weldon Schott, was introduced by Pastor Griffin. Chairman Schott called the meeting to order. Chairman Schott asked Pastor Griffin to open the meeting in prayer. Then the chairman verified that a quorum was present. The secretary read the minutes from 15 February 2009, and the chairman entertained a motion to approve the minutes as read. The motion was made by Tim Hunt, seconded by Paul Davey. The motion was voted on by the congregation and passed unanimously. The chairman presented the agenda for the meeting, the approval of the minutes from the previous year's annual meeting, ratification of Pastor Griffin's nomination for the 2010 Board of Deacons, 2009 annual financial report, missionary update, and Joe Griffin Media Ministries update. The chairman proceeded with the ratification of nominations for the 2010 Board of Deacons. The ballots were distributed to the congregation. The votes were cast, ballots collected and counted, led by Jim Hunt. The chairman was informed that all nominations had been successfully ratified by the congregation. The chairman then introduced Mr. Daniel Hunt for the presentation of the 2009 annual financial report. Mr. Hunt reported on the finances of Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. The chairman thanked Mr. Hunt for his report. Chairman then introduced Gary Watson for a missionary update. The chairman thanked Mr. Watson for his report. The chairman then introduced Paul Davey for a Joe Griffin Media Ministry update. After the presentation, chairman thanked Mr. Davey for his report. Chairman Schott then asked if there were any other new business or questions. Since there were none, he asked Pastor Griffin if he had any additional comments. Pastor Griffin commented on the missionary activities and also thanked the outgoing members of the Board of Deacons for their service. The chairman then entertained a motion to adjourn. The motion was made by Mr. Tim Hunt, seconded by Mr. Eric Parsons, voted on and passed unanimously, and Pastor Griffin closed the meeting in prayer.
Thanks, Gary. Okay, I will now entertain a motion that the minutes from last year be accepted. Is there a motion? Tim? Okay, second. Vic? All right, all those in favor, say aye. Opposed? Motion's carried. At this point, we're going to present and vote the election of the Board of Deacons that Pastor Griffin has nominated for the year. Jim Hunt's going to pass out ballots. I don't. I guess when you're done, he or someone is going to pick them up. Then he'll count them and see if any of us have enough votes to stay. And that's supposed to be a joke, but I didn't hear you laughing. And while he's doing that, and usually I tell dumb jokes. Last year I told some funny stories from kids in prep school. I don't have any more. I wonder if I could tell dumb things that we've said up here, but I decided not to do that. Too many of them would be mine. I did run off a bunch of jokes, but can't say any on that page or that page. You know why cannibals don't eat clowns? Because they taste funny. All right, you don't think that's funny? What has orange hair and big feet and comes in a test tube? Bozo the clone. And you know what flying a flag at half-mast means when they do it at the post office? It means they're hiring. can't use that one. A guy walks into a bar with jumper cables around his neck, and the bartender says, "Come on in, but don't be starting nothing in here." And I have one blonde joke. I'm married to one, so I get to tell it. It's a blind man happens to walk into a bar and sits down and says, "Anybody want to hear a blonde joke?" So the bartender says, "You need to know that I'm blonde and I know karate." And that lady sitting three tables over, she's blonde, she's 6'2", and she knows jujitsu. And the lady working over on the other side of the room, she's blonde, 6'3", and she lifts, pumps weights. And the lady who owns this place is a professional volleyball player, 6'4", and blonde. "So are you sure you won't tell the blonde joke?" He said, "Well, heck no, not if I'm going to have to explain it five times. Forget it." It's probably a good thing he was blind, because they probably didn't beat him up. Until he comes out, or does the white smoke out of the chimney. I'll see if I can find another. Yeah, they're funny too. Some of them are old from the Iraq War. Saddam Hussein won the coin toss and elected to receive. Hey, Lou, what would you get when I cross a godfather with a lawyer? An offer you can't understand. And why does the Iraqi Navy have glass-bottom boats so they can see their Air Force? I guess this is funny. Heather, why do some people take an instant aversion to banjo players? It saves time in the long run. The Chinese proverbs, man who stand in front of car get tired. Man who stand behind car get exhausted. I think the rest of these I just have to skip. Yeah, definitely have to skip them. Where's Jim? There must be a recount. Can't use that one either. Okay. Light travels faster than sound. That is why some people appear bright until you hear them speak. And there's a new divorce Barbie. A divorce Barbie. It comes with all of Ken's stuff. If Jim doesn't hurry up, they're going to start getting crude. What do tornadoes, hurricanes, and redneck divorces have in common? Someone's fixing to lose a trailer house in all three. Can't use that. A man and his credit card was stolen, but he decided not to report the stolen credit card because the thief was spending less than his wife was. Okay. How about that? Okay. Since that's been done, I welcome all the freshly elected board of deacons. And at this time, we're going to get a financial update by Brother Basso.
When Joe asked me to do this job, I asked him if I was qualified or not, being a lawyer. And he said that God's grace is matchless, so don't worry about it. This church has had the benefit of probably one of the finest men that I've come to know in this parish. He did his job with a lot of integrity for, I think, 13 years. Never a mistake. Always on time and with the utmost integrity. I cannot meet the first two. I'll usually be late. I do make mistakes. I'm not an accountant, but I will try and exercise the office I've been trusted with the same level of integrity that has blessed this church for many, many years by Dan Hunt. So although Dan couldn't be with us today because of an illness, I do think he might be listening. And if he's not, he won't hear the round of applause given to him in gratitude. Okay? Since you all can read and probably are not that interested in these financial statements, but we do have to provide this summary as part of our bylaws, I will make this very brief. As to Grace Doctrine Church, we had a beginning balance of $50,642.41. We were able to get contributions of $271,704 in revenues, and that was cash dollars. I have now accepting Krugerrands, rice, wheat, and other commodities given the loss in the dollar value, so please contribute as much as you can in any way you can. Interest of $661.65, and we had expenses of $187,154.05, leaving a net balance at the end of 2010 in the amount of $135,854.01. I will explain to the Doritos that may be listening that during the switchover from Danny to myself, there were some logistical problems and some computer problems. So there are some checks that came in 2010 at the last part of the year that did not get processed until January. Supplemental letters went out for those contributions, if you're listening. So if you don't get those and you send in a check, but it has not yet cleared or has just recently cleared, but you haven't got your letter, be patient. It's on the way. It was in the mail. And that goes for Joe Griffin Media Ministries, too. I do apologize, but there was a little bit of a learning curve for me, particularly given my background as a lawyer. Moving on to Joe Griffin Media Ministries, and I got that right the first press of the button. There were a beginning balance of $149,928.95. We had contributions of $76,245.28, generating interest that year of $1,112.89, and expenses of $102,037.68, leaving an ending balance of $125,249.44. Are there any questions that you think you could ask me that I might be able to answer? No, well, there be no questions. I will step down and turn this back over to the president.
Turned it on. Oh, at this point, I'm going to have a missionary update by Brother Watson. That was fun to say. You just put this on.
Joe, we're going to go a little long, so I hope everybody doesn't have a pot roast on when they get home, because that's going to take about 30 or 40 minutes to finish what I have. Now, I first want to just thank the Grace Doctrine Church, Pastor Griffin, and the Board of Deacons for their support over the past year. We've kept busy with our prison ministry and our kids' outings. Also, in early 2010, I spent a week on the road with Rick Hughes, as well as two other weeks during the year. And I'm grateful for his guidance. I also want to thank all of you in Grace Doctrine Church for your paperback books, your magazines, the clothes, some appliances. We took care of a lot of needs this past year just for folks coming up and volunteering. Thank you. And also for all the Doritos out there who have provided a place for me to stay, cook for me, put up with me, encourage me. I really appreciate it. During 2010, we've had over 60 hours of Bible classes, starting in various prisons. We've been to South Dakota twice. We've been to Texas. I was in South Dakota. The earlier one was Texas. The folks, these two gentlemen who Joe, I think, knows, from Baraka Church set up the trips to Texas to get everything organized there. And that was a real eye-opener going down to the Texas Department of Corrections. They're now looking to eliminate chaplains in all the prisons in Texas to save money. And it's one of the areas that they're targeting across the country now, is to eliminate chaplains taking away Bible teaching. As Bill Kessler, the short guy there on the right, said, that may be a good opportunity, though, because one of the issues we have is with chaplains, especially when it comes to rebound. They're not interested in it. They don't want it taught. And even at one location, after 3 hours of Bible class over 2 days, the nice lady said, we're not going to do a third day. I don't want that taught. But with that said, the response has been wonderful from the men there, so it's been great. This is another location where we taught. I brought some slides today so you can get to know some of the kids, some of the locations. You'll see people sleeping in most of these photographs because my classes are more boring than Pastor Griffin's. That's at the veterans' home. We had a good visit with those folks there, and they continue to allow us to be a part of their operation. We always start during our kids' outings. We always make sure we have Bible class. We've had individuals in this church provide notebooks for the kids so that they can take notes, bring them back, and keep bringing them to each of our classes. That way they can follow up on their notes when they get home. We've had some comments from not only kids but family that I want to read to you. These are some of the outings that we did this year. This was down in the valley at a big gymnasium where we played dodgeball. And then we had the shadow kids afterwards. You can see behind. That was demolition ball out here in St. Charles. And there's the whole total group of kids and adults. Those are some of the kids that come along. In these photographs, each of these kids' parents were incarcerated. That was incredible pizza. The SEALs donated their farm to us, and we went out and went fishing, horseback riding. We had water balloon fights. We didn't catch very many big fish. In fact, the frogs we were catching were bigger than the fish themselves. We caught some pretty big bullfrogs, but for Torah, we let them go. This was a pool party we had. Some of the kids there. Six Flags. Float trip. The Ristys in South Dakota had a Christian horse camp all by grace. And I went up and we had 3 days of Bible class and a great time with the kids. And it's on target for this year to do it again. The question is how we can handle more kids. There were so many kids. We had more kids that wanted to attend than we were able to accommodate. And this year we already have more than we had last year. So how do we handle that? Your prayer in that is greatly appreciated. That's some more up at the Ristys location. That was at the pool party. We finished the year at a Christmas party here at Grace Doctrine Church, and we saw the movie It's a Wonderful Life. We sang some Christmas carols. Grant provided the music. Lou provided the sleeping. That was one of the young kids who sang for us, came up in front. I'm jumping ahead here a little bit, but I want to read you a couple notes from the kids. Thank you for what you do for us, and thank you for your church. I would love to attend church on Sundays if you could pick me up. I can't wait for demolition ball next month. Pastor Gary, once you explained rebound to us, it really made sense to me. You explained what my youth pastor could never do. Your comments about rededicating your life were very important. No one ever has an answer to what that means. But with rebound, I now know what to do. Dear Mr. Gary, I will never be able to thank you for being there for me and my brothers. Without our dad here, we're always around women, and that gets old. But when I wrote him back and said, that doesn't change. But when we're with you and the people from your church, it's like being with our father. Even when you yell at us, we don't mind. Thank you, and please thank your church for us. Oh, by the way, my mom says thanks, too. Hey, Mr. Gary, thank you for picking us up and driving us to our Friday night fun and for driving us to church. One last letter. Gary, I wanted to introduce myself. My name is, I'll leave out the names. I'm the proud mother of, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for taking my two children and my grandson under your wing. Since the death of my husband, their father, and their grandfather, I have found that the boys really look up to you and enjoy the times that they are allowed to be part of your fellowship. I will be forever grateful for you, for the compassion and the friendship you and your church have shown toward my sons. God bless you for opening up your heart and allowing my sons and grandson to be a part of the wonderful fellowship they enjoy so much. And these are just kids that come along. This year we have a full slate starting the 18th of February. We're going to demolition ball. The kids have asked that we add more nights so that we can come up here and have a movie night, a minimum of once a month, which would be an increased outing. And we'll come here and have pizza or popcorn or something and watch a movie. This year are going to go, thanks to the grace shown by some individuals in this church, we're going boating in June and water skiing and tubing. We're going back to the Seals Farm in May. We've had the volunteer of a gentleman in this church to take them to their property and take them shooting and teach them how to shoot, and we're going to do that. So those are the few things that we have on the agenda for this year. Our next Bible class, they're looking to hear part of the Fantastic Four, but we're not that we're going to look at salvation and the resurrection of Christ from a historical viewpoint, trying to build on the kids' confidence in their salvation and their eternal future. So that's what we'll be doing in February. On the prison ministry side, our next trip is to the last weekend of this month to the Federal Medical Center in Butner, North Carolina. I would appreciate your prayers for that trip. We still provide prayer lists, bulletins, memory verse cards. We send out class notes twice a month. And that's what this slide is, to show you there's some organization to what we do. If you look on this spreadsheet, and it goes way out into the future here, we're not going to have, but we list the name, their location. Whenever a letter is written, that letter is returned within the week. Usually on Saturday mornings, I start about 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. and write letters to everyone who's written during that week. And then I note in here when the letter was responded to, and that way I know when I got a letter from them. If I don't hear from them, I'll drop them a note. Many times they don't write because they don't have money for stamps, and so they have to wait until they get some funds, and then when they do, they'll write a letter. But I'll always write a letter to them just to let them know that we're thinking of them, make sure they're okay. Next, one of the first things they get is Joe Griffin's book number one. And I've condensed this down. Actually, you would have on my spreadsheet, it has Joe Griffin's book number two, number three, number four. Joe Hunt's book is one book that everybody who contacts us gets. It's a book that we send out several a week. It's utilized every day. And when we speak at a prison, that book is also given out in mass quantities. It's been spread all over this country and will continue to be so used. Then you'll see in the note there, it says Joe current study notes. Twice a month I send out the updated notes from this local church so folks can follow along with our Bible study. Some of the notes that you'll see here, I just brought along a few letters. Thank you so much for the studies on the concept of freedom by our founding fathers. I truly enjoy going over them and cross-referencing the scriptures. The studies have given me so much more knowledge and understanding of what the original scriptures were saying. I especially enjoyed learning about the Magi. I got Ride with the Devil. It is awesome, awesome. After studying it twice, I sent it to my wife, who has been studying with Joe every day, after studying with Bobby in the morning. That's Bobby Thiem. She is really enjoying Joe's lessons. I've never heard Joe teach, so I'm really looking forward to it. That will happen pretty soon. Please tell Joe that there is one guy out here that is a, in quotation, captured audience and appreciates all his efforts. Our Lord, so awesome, is so awesome it defies words. I'm looking forward to more Bible study notes. I really enjoy the notes and can't wait to use them in conjunction with the audio. I really enjoy Joe's teaching. My wife says that he is a wonderful teacher. She is now studying two lessons every day from Joe off the internet. At least she doesn't rub it in. Can you send me the 2009 Shreveport conference notes? I heard it's really good. My wife told me, could you please send that to me? The Lord continues to bless me in here, and I really appreciate all the fantastic doctrine from my adopted church. If there are any lessons that you could send me, that would be great. Keep them coming. I thank the Lord for you and your congregation. Glory be to Jesus. I wanted to thank you with this small letter for blessing me with your Bible studies that you send. I read and study them and then pass them on to others. Thank you so much for the letter and for all the Bible study material. It means a lot to us that you care enough. So these are just some of the notes. Some of the issues that we're up against in any Bible studies you teach, Lou would be escorting people out of this church about every 15 minutes. One of the problems you have is you got the king of the mountain, especially those that come from the holy roller background. They'll stand right up in a Bible class and interrupt. They'll disrupt. They'll talk to folks around them. And you have to work through it because otherwise you'd have to get a guard to come get them, take them out, escort them out, take them back. So you would lose 15 minutes of a Bible study. So you just work around it. You tell them, I'll answer it later. Hey, we'll get to that. And we're not discussing that now. Sometimes you just ignore them and let them chit-chat, and you just keep right on going. Those that are interested get the information. The other problem we have is, like I said earlier, the chaplains with 1 John 1:9. That's an issue. And then the Muslim presence is huge. The Islam is the number one recruiting ground for the Muslim religion, for Islam, is in prisons. A letter I've got recently, it says, there is much dissension here on the compound. When the Pentecostals began their ministry, quite a few men left our doctrinal services and followed after these tickle-the-ear preachers. Most of these brothers have since left even that service for Islam. It is so sad that they have left their first love. Sadly, there is a large Islamic presence here. Everyone seems to gravitate to it. So that is an ongoing issue. Also, you have issues now where they're not wanting Christians to gather together. And a letter I got from Rick Hughes, and then I got one just this morning. I get fan mail sometimes, too. And they said, we are being told that two or more Christians cannot worship, study, or pray together. Interesting that they picked two or more. With the exception of regular Sunday services, no Bible studies unless the chaplain is involved. If we are caught doing it, we will be written up. And they're trying. So as Bill Kessler said, the gentleman you saw earlier, the short guy, he said every day, every time he's in a prison, someone's accepting Christ. And you've got over 2.4 million people in prison. 80% of those are getting out. So you're getting these believers who are coming out, and where they're getting doctrine, this list as it goes down that you see in the overhead, we have those that are home. And then we have in bold, those are ones that continue to study. They send in wanting information, more books, more Bible notes. So it's making an impact one soul at a time, one person at a time, one family at a time. They're being attacked in prisons just like they are on the outside. If you see the red dots up here, those are all the locations where we have individuals who are receiving Bible class notes from this local church. We also provide, if they can receive them, paperback books once a month. We also provide for them magazines on once a month. We include them in Bible class notes so they have something to read. They have a lot of free time. You can only study the Word so much. And at some point, you got to go do something else. And the magazines are a real distraction and gives them a real opportunity to use their mind for something else, and idle hands are the devil's workshop. So then the next one, and it's the last slide, all the blue dots are where we've set up tape groups in the prisons. They're presently going through the basic studies of Joe Griffin and then following along with our class notes. But that's where we've been able to get individuals set up, where they're following along with our local church of Joe's teaching on a consistent basis. And those groups range anywhere from 2 to 20 in those locations. That's our goal. How do we get, because the chaplains are not going to teach the doctrine the way we would like it taught, the way the scriptures tell us it should be taught, you get them set up in a tape group, because you can't be there 24 hours a day. But if they can go in and pull out an MP3 and put it in a recorder and sit down, they can get truth. And then truth will trump everything else. Please pray for open doors. That's something that is always needed, prayer for open doors. Pray for these men as they get out. I always post letters on the wall when they come in so you all can read, see what they have to say. They appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate what you're doing. And as you can see, there's quite an operation going out from Grace Doctrine Church that most of you don't really know anything about. You graciously give of your books. You come out on Friday nights to help with all the kids. You're welcome to anything we do. Please come anytime you want. We'd love to have you. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. That was very instructive. Also uplifting. That horse I saw at the Ristie's looked like it had war paint on. Was that war paint?
We were painting. That was part of an activity. I got to tell you, Deb Ristie, Dan, and their daughters had the most professionally run camp that you could ever think of. I mean, from the moment I pulled in the driveway, and the moment I pulled out of the driveway, everything was orchestrated, was perfect, and doctrine was put first throughout that entire time I was there. Nothing else came before that. And there was a big thunderstorm and a cold front coming through, and we got in the last Bible class, and within 5 minutes of Bible class being over, it started raining and storming, and we all hung out in the barn, and then an hour or so later, it cleared out, and we had a horse show.
You mentioned not being able to accommodate all the kids. Is that financial or space? Or
it's having enough horses and instructors to help with those horses, because you got Deb and her daughters and Dan, and then after that they have a couple students that helped out. And then just financially being able to accommodate everything that needs to be done with regards to, you know, the food, because we had a big barbecue, so the parents could get a chance to understand what the Bible classes were about and what we were doing.
So they could use some financial help to help with the feeding.
Yes.
And then just prayer that they could find the people.
And the horses.
And the horses.
I don't know how many we could have. It's unbelievable in response.
Okay. You know, there's some people in this bulletin that are missionaries that have these worldwide missionaries, but if you look at it, just in this country, Gary's got probably 5 or 10 times more than a lot of them, and they're all over the country. And so I don't think Gary would have to be going outside the United States. Although he did tell me he wanted to go to India because he always wanted to visit the birthplace of Tonto. But Gary's doing a great job here in the States, and I think that we'll, with prayers and support, he'll continue to do God's work. At this point, I'm going to open the floor to any questions about anything, and we will try to answer them or make them up. Any questions? I guess not. Okay. At this point, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Tom? Timmy, second. Although any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, meeting is adjourned. At this point, the pastor is going to have comments, and he'll close in prayer, and then he will crank up his study. So, oh, let me turn mine off.
Okay. Thank you, Weldon, and thank you, Lou and Gary. I do want to reiterate what Lou had to say about Danny Hunt. For 13 years, he was a head pencil pusher for both ministries, and all of the things Lou said about him are true. Danny's decided to go into retirement, which I imagine means buying a lot of golf balls. I would buy stock in Titleist if I were you. But we do thank Dan for a job well done, and we will miss him on both boards. With regard to one of the things that Gary said, one person said he really enjoyed the 2009 Shreveport Bible Conference and would like to get the tapes of that. And I was thinking, you know, that says something about my teaching. There was no 2009 Shreveport Bible Conference. And that's what he enjoyed the most. I would say, yikes. I see many of you enjoyed that. The only thing I would have to say is I would like to say a few things about Media Ministries. That, too, has been blessed exceedingly abundantly since we founded it. And the guys that are sitting back in the aquarium, along with a few others that are missing from that particular assembly, have done phenomenal work, and they come at a good price. They don't charge anything. And they do a lot of hard work back there, and the people that are in Doritoville are the recipients of their hard work. You noted we spent over $100,000 last year in Media Ministries and primarily involved in buying whatever was necessary to get the word out beyond these walls. A lot of money has been spent on equipment. We have recently invested in money that will take us to video transmission of our Bible classes. That will be installed shortly. It's already been paid for, I think. And then we'll have an experimental run to see how that dog hunts. And then once all the bugs are out of it, we will plug in that camera back there, and we'll see how many people can stand that. They may vote to go back to audio only. But nevertheless, that is on the agenda. That's the next big project. We've bought new servers. We have something up in the clouds, I'm told. So we've gone cloud. And that makes the signal that goes out to the Doritos of higher quality, and so on it goes. So this is what's going on in Media Ministries. We're blessed exceedingly abundantly there. There has been a holdup on the book that will contain the 40 proclamations. I don't know what that is. I just haven't heard from Patty lately, but as soon as she gets done with whatever she's presently doing, we should have that ready to go to print. There are other books that are on the horizon. John Smith has edited one together that expands on the basic series. And if I have to take 2 weeks off, I'll do it in order to make sure that we get that to Patty Stanfield for her, the things that she does to get it ready for press. I don't know what to call that. So that's on the agenda as well. I've got a couple of other ideas that we will move along in 2011 as well. Now, because of the length of today's meeting, I'm not going to take up where we left off first session. We'll just put a hiatus on this study until next week. Let me tell you, well, it's 35 after. I need a full 30 minutes to finish that thing up, and the ladies have pot roast and all that. Yeah.
No, I would say that if I were Colonel Thieme, and I am not, that he would stay here for an hour now. So consider yourself blessed. And the thing is we will pick up this study. I really got to a good spot in our study. And then we will pick up next Sunday after the Eucharist and complete what I wanted to complete today. I want to tell you that you are going to enjoy what David Ross has to say next Sunday. What has happened in England is happening here. That sad testimony that Gary passed along about so many of the prisons forbidding Christians to gather together in groups of more than two or three seems to me, I mean, I understand that people who are in prison have lost some of their constitutional rights, but would it be one that inhibits their freedom to worship the God of the universe? I don't quite understand that. Maybe Lou can look into it. But that they cannot gather and they cannot have Bible studies. My question is the Islamic crowd treated the same way? And where's the balance here? And is that constitutional? So that's something that is a flare, a signal, an alert that we're on the same road as Great Britain. They've lost it there. When it comes to Christianity, it is a relic. And the man you will hear next Sunday was a pastor there. He was a career pastor and has only recently retired. He must be older than me. And so he still lives there and has witnessed the theological and spiritual and biblical downfall of the mother country. And I've asked him that since he's going to be here, if he would give us some insight into that. And I think it also probably will be a harbinger of what will ultimately take place here unless we continue to do the job that we're doing, which is sitting here and learning doctrine and growing in grace and applying that to our daily lives while praying for others who are in the combat. So we will dismiss after closing prayer, and I'll see you Wednesday evening, provided it doesn't snow and sleet and hail and rain. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunities we've had today to not only study your word, but also to evaluate the previous year for both Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. I personally thank you for your matchless grace toward both of these organizations. The Word of God is alive and powerful, and as long as we uphold it, you will honor our efforts, and we thank you for having done so. We thank you for those who work in this church, from the Board of Deacons down to those who, whatever the task is they assume, do it as unto the Lord. And as we move through this new year, it is our prayer that the Word of God that you have provided for us will be magnified in the lives of all who gather here. And we lift our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.